it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on the second guest show, Mike Dottiglio along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're at the Silver Slipper Casino beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. We'll be here until 6:30 tonight. And at 6:30, we'll hand it off to the Saints Radio Network. It'll be our Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show with Bobby, Mike Hoss, voice of the Saints. Saints head coach Kellen Moore, his guest tonight. Saints defensive line coach Bo Davis. And at 7:30 right here on the Big 870 WWL. Monday Night Football, the Chicago Bears playing the Minnesota Vikings. Before we go to Vic Tafer,
yeah,
Bob, you got something on DeMario Davis.
DeMario Davis and Alvin Kamara. Now, we were just talking about the leaders of the team. And you know what, sometimes, you can't just, you got to walk the talk. You know, because if you always, like, trying to be the leader and telling the players how it has to be and you don't do nothing, they look at you like, well, you ain't done nothing. But then if you could back it up with your play, then it's human nature. Players tend to listen. So this is a good sign for our team right now that the game Alvin Kamara had and DeMario Davis. You know, now here, when you're getting your 30 years of age, and this is DeMario Davis, for instance. And I'm a fan of Pro Football Focus. They analyze every play. They're not 100% right, but they're pretty right on. And they write about DeMario Davis. Even though at 36 years of age, he continues to excel in all phases of defense. They don't have a dog in the hunt. They could care less about DeMario Davis. And here, excels in all phases of defense. The Saints captain was dominant against the run in week one, earning a 91% Pro Football Focus run defense grade. This is the catcher, key right here. It was the highest amongst all NFL linebackers through Sunday. Now, they got a game between the Vikings and the Bears. I don't know what's going to happen. But all the games, that the NFL games they've had, he had the highest run defense grade out of all the linebackers. He had two tackles for loss or no gain. And he didn't miss. Because they know he didn't miss a single run fit. So you know how, what you're responsible, where you need to be, he didn't miss.
Gap responsible.
Yes, he didn't miss one time. So, I don't know, put the young guy in. Why? out of all the linebackers in the NFL, he's playing at that level. So that caught my attention, and good for DeMario Davis. Now look at Alvin Kamara. You look at his contribution. His 18-yard touchdown run gave the Saints, the crowd cheering in the dome. We're winning 7-3 in the second quarter. And that was a little bit of part of history. Do you know all the football we watched in the Superdome? Alvin Kamara's run was the 1,000th touchdown scored by the Saints in the Superdome. And good for Alvin Kamara to do it, because it goes hand in hand with this. The 1,000, this is not by accident, this is a good omen too. Kamara scoring the 1,000th touchdown by the Saints in the Superdome. Also, he has scored more touchdowns in the Superdome than any other Saints player in history. Marcus Colston is next on the list with 38. So you look at, yeah, you would think, who's like, yeah. So Alvin Kamara scores the 1,000, he scored the most touchdowns ever in the Superdome. And these are all the players we're counting on. So that's the right leadership. They're leading by example. The young players will see this.
And still productive.
And how to be a pro. Yeah, being productive at the highest level.
On our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, he covers the 49ers in the NFL for The Athletic, Vic Tafer. Vic, thanks so much for joining us. And, man, we were just talking about this in the hour before this, that, man, it's almost like watching a MASH show. You don't have Alan Alda and McLean Stevenson doing MASH, but, man, you got a lot of walking wounded for the 49ers today.
Hey, no kidding. I need a medical degree to follow this team. But, yeah, I've got some more news today. Brock Purdy may miss the game on Sunday with a turf toe. We'll see how he does next year, 2 days before practice on Wednesday. George Kittle out probably 3 weeks is my guess, based on what Kyle was saying. He has a hamstring. Juwan Jennings also not sure when he's back. Maybe this week, maybe not. So yeah, a lot more guys that they got to plug in and replace.
What is the health status of Christian McCaffrey and Trent Williams? I saw Trent go to the tent, and then he was back in. Now, McCaffrey, you knew wasn't going to be, you know, full-time in there. So what is their status for this coming game against the Saints, Trent Williams and Christian McCaffrey?
Yeah, I talked to Trent after the game. He said he kind of fell down on his knee a little funny. He went right back in and said he's fine. McCaffrey, no real exact description of what happened. He had, like, he has a calf thing that came up in practice last week. Probably a cramp because he played. There was some concern about it, you know, last week. Will he play? Will he not play? But based on him playing, he played a lot. I think he played pretty well. So I think it's probably in the past, and I think it was a minor cramp in practice Thursday. But he says he's fine. He's ready to go. I think he'll be you know, all guns blazing come Sunday.
Now, Vic, looking on face value, and I guess I'm a Robert Saleh fan, considering what he did in the past with the 49ers. And just if you look at the score, it seems like, I don't know what exactly happened. I haven't investigated enough between the Seahawks and the 49ers. But as the fan base, 49er fan base, are they pleased where the defense is at right now and with Coach Saleh's leadership? Or where are they at as far as that? And, you know, when you win, you win. And, you know, you need to play complimentary football. But how do you view so far with Robert Saleh coming back into the fold, you know, the experience as a head coach, but now running the defense again?
Yeah, the players are really excited about him, his energy, definitely has a passion, and very detailed. I think he's a good partner with Kyle Shanahan as far as they bounce things, obviously, as far as, you know, the offense they're going to face and how they can attack it. I think the game yesterday, George, you know, Nick Bosa, I can think of George Kittle. Nick Bosa made a game-winning play at the end, and like, pushed a guy back into the quarterback and forced a fumble. Fred Warner, one of the best linebackers in the league, if not the best. So they got some star power. They got some young guys that are working in. I think D. Winters really played well yesterday, a guy flying around at linebacker. So they're pretty happy with the way things went yesterday.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah,
you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why it's not
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know
Browns
why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
How about kicking situation? I got a friend of mine, and I don't know how she grew up a 49ers fan, but she grew up a 49ers fan in the city in New Orleans. And every time she's sort of potty mouthed, every time Moody comes on the field to kick a field goal, man, he has had a wild ride since, you know, he was a third round pick of the 49ers. Are they going to bring in a veteran kicker to take a look at? Again, I think if he were a seventh round pick, he wouldn't be on this team. You know, but they invested in him. Tell us a little bit about the kicking game and especially Moody from Michigan.
Yeah, there's no question. If he wasn't a third round pick, he'd be long gone. I think you just not a lot of confidence when you watch, you know, when he comes in, the fans don't fulfill it. Even the players, I think, kind of holding their breath. He's had some struggles. They brought in Greg Joseph at training camp. He was a veteran guy, didn't try to do that well. But Kyle today said they might bring some more guys in tomorrow for tryouts. So, clearly, he's kind of on his last line. I think another missed field goal, or, you know, we're happy. I think it might be it for him. But they're trying. They're trying to give him a boost and say they believe in him because they invested so much in him. But the clock is ticking. I think you definitely can feel the heat coming on pretty strong.
Now, Vic, when you look at not every position group is always the strength of the team. And from an outsider, it seems like, boy, can they get Brock Purdy some help as far as from the wide receivers? Now, Brandon Ayuk, they invested in him, but is that a fair assessment that, look, if Kittle's not playing, and then let's say Brock Purdy can't play, who will Mac Jones be throwing to, and who's a receiver maybe he can rely upon? Because from an outsider, it seems like that's where the 49ers might be hurting.
It's true. And right now, they're counting on Ricky Purcell, the rookie last year. Had a nice game on Sunday, 100 yards, and some big catches down the stretch, but definitely, Ayuk's out probably for another 5 weeks or so. DeMarcus Robinson is going to be suspended for about another two more weeks. So they're trying to patch things up. They signed Marquez Valdes-Scantling last week. He didn't play that much yesterday, but might get more of a role this week. They just signed Kendrick Bourne. So they're trying to get guys, you know, veteran guys, and come in and help out. But, yeah, right now they're just kind of patch it up and hope to they can hold on until Ayuk comes back in week six.
Tell us a little bit about how Mac Jones looked in training camp and during the preseason?
I thought Mac kind of, you know, struggled early on in the offseason. Obviously, new system. I think there's a lot to kind of grasp with Kyle Shanahan's offense. But clearly you saw progress as he went on. And by the end of training camp, he looked fairly good. Again, it's training camp. You can't really judge a guy too much on that in the preseason. But he looks like he's comfortable. The team believes in him. I think that's the guy that Kyle wanted to draft once upon a time way back when. So he's always liked him. Thought he was a good fit for the offense. So, and he was a smart kid, so I'm sure he picked it up. So I think they'll be okay. Obviously, they want Purdy to play, but I don't think we're panicking if Mac Jones is the guy on Sunday.
Bob?
You know, Vic, when you look at the NFC West and, you know, like 49ers, you say, okay, who's going to go from worst to first? Obviously, dealing with all the injuries, you look and say, well, I think they have a chance maybe to double their win total compared to where they were last year. No one saw the 49ers only winning six games, but with all the injuries. But when you look at the Rams,
that depends on Stafford.
Yeah, Stafford, and then you look at the Seahawks. So how do you view the 49ers right now? And then, because they have high expectations of the 49ers. It's not like we're just competing. The 49ers fans, I know that they want to be like the Eagles, and that we yeah. that we the cream of the crop. And not necessarily like we don't want the Lions to be competing with the Eagles like in the past, or you look at Green Bay where they're at, but how do you view the 49ers and the fan base stacking up in the NFC right now?
Yeah, I think right now they have these six or seven star players you mentioned, you know, Trent Williams and McCaffrey and Bosa and Fred Warner, Purdy. So there's a window here, like maybe a 2-year window where you can maximize these guys. Especially Trent's 37 years old, so he can't play forever. So I think those guys feel there's a 2-year window to get back to the playoffs and make some noise.
Vic, thanks so much for joining us. It should be a real interesting game come Sunday, you know, in the Superdome, because this is not what I think all of us thought might hit here with all the injuries. But when you got a little older team, things happen. And that's just par for the course. Thanks so much for joining us tonight. Do a great job, too, covering the 49ers in the NFL.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Vic.
All right. Vic Tafur does a great job. Senior writer at The Athletic, and he covers not only the 49ers, but the entire NFL.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.